Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Scott German. We're talking UVA football after one of the bigger wins in the last several years. The Cavs win 40-36 over Georgia Tech. It's the sixth win of the season. You win six in the season, you get to go to a bowl. First time for Virginia football that they're bowl eligible since 2011 in a game that was it was back and forth, 28-13 after a couple of big touchdowns early second half for Georgia Tech. It looked like, that's the kind of game Virginia loses under Mike London. They just pack the tent up and go home. But they come back and then have to come back again after Georgia Tech scores a late touchdown. 3 minutes to go, take the lead. Kurt Binker hooks up with Andre Lavoni, and then the Cavs defense has to do one more final stop to close this one out. But gosh, Scott, this is we talk about program defining wins. This is a program defining win. What a gutty victory for this Virginia football team.
Oh, it certainly was, and I mean it could have been. I'm sure even the most diehard Virginia football fans could have given up on this one. I mean those two. Place to start the second half for Georgia Tech. That was just unbelievable. And if you talk about something that could have just, they could at that point, you give up back-to-back touchdowns within the first 30-some seconds, I guess, of the second half. I don't think even the most diehard Virginia fans were going to hold out much hope that the Cavaliers were going to come back and win that one. So you got to tip your hat. I mean, regardless of what has happened to them in the last 2 weeks, and let's face it, they just laid a goose egg in both at Louisville and Boston College and Pitt games. But to come back and play a very decent Georgia Tech team with that type of offense, you would think that the weather today at Scott Stadium would have certainly favored Georgia Tech, but just a character-defining win, and you're right, this could be the win. If we look back, if this program takes off, this dreary first Sunday in November played in front of probably a half-built stadium could be the turning point in this era under Bronco Mendenhall.
Yeah, the way this game played out, I mean, the weather did have a factor. Virginia, in the second quarter, there were five straight pass plays where Kurt Binkert had drops by his wide receivers, and it was pouring down rain most of the day. Binkert said after the game, we were talking with Binkert after the game, he said, my problem was, he said, he took the fault for that, even though the receivers were dropping the passes. He said, I was just throwing them in the wrong places. It's when it's raining like that, you don't throw it to their hands, you throw it more to the body, kind of let the body catch the ball, the hands can kind of trap it. And so he actually stood up and took the blame, even though, okay, the blame really should go to the receivers. Throw the ball in their hands. I don't care how bad the weather is. You're supposed to catch it. But Virginia fell behind 14-6, got a 92-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Joe Reed, who was in the first half, he was the offense. He had a 57-yard return, set up a field goal, and then the 92-yard return for a touchdown. It's 14-13 at halftime. You look at the stats, Georgia Tech had 69 yards rushing. They came in averaging 347 a game, and you say, hey, we did okay. We're in a game with a team that, has actually played a pretty tough schedule. They've got a couple tough losses, and here we are. It's 14-13. And then Taquan Marshall, first play from scrimmage. Georgia Tech gets the second-half kickoff to start the second half. First play from scrimmage, 78-yard touchdown. And then, like Scott said, the next play from scrimmage was Virginia, Kurt Binkert dropping back and throwing a pick six. And so you're 35 seconds into the third quarter. It's 28-13. And, Scott, you and I have watched a lot of bad Virginia football over the years. And I'm thinking to myself at that time, that's when Virginia teams give up. It's 28-13. You played a pretty good first half. Now it's two stupid plays. You're two scores down. And Mike London teams, Al Groh teams, they fold the tent up, they go home. They're done. They lose that game 49-13. It says something about Bronco Mendenhall that he's instilled a different culture in his team, that they immediately came back two scores on their next two drives within 5 minutes as a tie game. That says a lot about what Bronco's done at Virginia, because Mike London's teams would not have done that, Scott.
No, London's gone. We know from what we witnessed under London that generally that they would have folded in the game. Georgia Tech would have won by 30 points. But this is results that Coach Mendenhall excuse me, is getting out of, for the most part, players that he did not recruit. Now, some darn good players out there with Kaiser and Blanding, but there's a lot of players out there that are not four-star recruits that he's got to. He has successfully had these players buy into his system and playing with a tremendous amount of resilience. And you know, I made some notes, and it would be kind of interesting to see among Cavalier fans that were able to be there or watch a game, who showed the most resilience today. And there was a lot to choose from. You talked about Benkert. You know, he had a bunch of passes dropped. It should have been caught by experienced receivers, Valley. He had the pick six. But then after that, he played an outstanding game. Coleman, the punter, gets a punt block. Seems like he's taking forever to release the ball. And then the rest of the game, he's just lights out. The receivers, we talked about dropping passes left and right in the first half and then catching so many balls in the second half. And the defense, they gave up the two big plays to open the second half. You know, then, for the most part, just shut Georgia Tech down at the very end to win it. So a lot of different heroes, a lot of, not just one or two players, but both sides of the ball, players playing with so much resilience, and that's what we didn't see under Mike London.
And I'll throw in there, yeah, because my first thought was to say Kurt Benkert, but then, yeah, there's so many. Benkert was 21 of 43 passing. I counted seven drop passes by his receivers. There might have been a couple others he could have defined as drop passes. So all of a sudden, a 21 for 43 day could turn into a 30 for 43 day, if that's the case. But then Micah Kaiser, 18 tackles in this game. Now, what fans probably don't know, I mean, you know, I'm there after the game in the media room with Coach Mendenhall and the players. Kaiser's hurt. He's dealing with a couple of issues with lower leg issues. Mendenhall said, you know, the NFL scouts wouldn't want to time him right now in the 40 because he wouldn't be anywhere within a second and a half of his best 40 time. But Mendenhall said basically Kaiser refuses to come off the field, and Mendenhall says, I'm not taking him off the field. Now, Kaiser's a middle linebacker. Today we're playing a team that runs the ball an awful lot. He's the middle linebacker is important for play calls, making the tackles, etc. He had 18 tackles today. Basically probably 60-65% of his health. And so he's a big star. You mentioned the punter Lester Coleman got a punt blocked, but then he had two big punts in the fourth quarter, one 65-yard punt that pinned Georgia Tech back inside the 10-yard line. Another one that downed at the two that led to the safety that was important in the scoring in the fourth quarter. Joe Reed again, you know, in the first half when the offense wasn't moving the ball, those two big returns, including the touchdown return. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that even Jordan Ellis. You know, you would look at Jordan Ellis' stats and say pretty pedestrian game, 13 carries, 48 yards. But in the second half, in the first half, 6 carries, 12 yards. Second half, 7 carries, 36 yards, and some important yards for this team. So yeah, there's a lot of stars in this game. A lot of guys who stepped up to make this historic win possible.
Chris, and we went this little comical note. We went from not having a real good kicking game to a kicker that can now make trick shots. the extra point hitting both uprights. I mean, when things turn around, they turn around well for UVA.
Well, he made 3 field goals too, including a 36-yarder on that first drive. I tweeted at the time, hey, now we know we can make a 36-yard field goal. I mean, up until that point, I don't think we'd made – I think the long for the season had been 28 yards. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we can, you know, move that distance back a little bit, which is important. He you know, the trick shot, that was important too. The fact that, okay, yeah, wasn't a good kick, but he misses that extra point, and then Georgia Tech only needs a field goal to tie and extend that game instead of needing a touchdown on that last drive. So, yeah, you know, at least he banked it in there. Again, I can't say enough about the resilience of this team. When you start counting it up, previous regimes and how Virginia teams would have done, after the pick six, the second score within 30 seconds of the third quarter starting, you're down 28-13. That's a time when not just an old Virginia team, most teams, when that happens, they fold it up. So then Virginia takes the lead in the fourth quarter, 33-28. They can't get a first down, though, to milk clock. Georgia Tech goes down, 90-yard drive, scores, takes the lead, 3 minutes to go. The rain, you know, at that point, I mentioned how it had been raining the whole game. It really started raining. When in between the Georgia Tech extra point, the two-point conversion, the TV timeout, and then when Virginia got the ball back, it was absolutely a downpour. I mean, on a day when it rained all day, it was raining the worst when Virginia got the ball back. And Virginia scores, 64-yard drive, five plays, four passes, and one run by Kurt Benkert. It was all Benkert on that drive. And he threw the prettiest ball of the day, maybe the prettiest ball of his career, that 27-yard touchdown pass, Andre Lavroni. And so, you know, that and then, you know, Scott, you and I have seen this. Last year, Louisville, Virginia scores in the last couple minutes, but there's still enough time. Louisville comes back, wins that game on a late score. 2 years ago, Virginia scores right around 2 minutes to go against Notre Dame. Notre Dame scores in the final seconds. We've been in that situation before, too, where we scored a little too soon late in the game. The other team had enough time to come back and win. In fact, Georgia Tech got the ball at the 32-yard line. Defense stiffens up. So there are so many times that a previous Virginia team would have either given up, would have just kind of fallen short, and they didn't. And they won this game. And it's the sixth win, and now they're bowl eligible.
Okay, so I'm going to turn the tables on you and let me ask you a couple of questions, put you on the spot, Chris. Mm-hmm. Two things. You were in the I'll do the first question is, have you, both of us haven't followed UVA football for a long time, have you ever seen a quarterback kick you go from being so bad to being so good in the course of one game? And then talk a little bit about Coach Mendenhall. I listened to it. You were there in the interview, the emotional press conference that he gave. I listened to it, and it was just awesome. I wished I was in there to actually see it, but it wasn't as good live as it sounded on the radio.
Yeah, I'll answer that one first, because actually, too, he even talked about Kurt Benkert, you know, having that rough stretch in the second quarter and then winning the game in the fourth quarter, essentially, with his arm. The press conference afterwards, you know, I don't know, for fans listening, especially the post-game show on the radio, it was probably long delayed from when you normally hear it. It was probably 30 minutes after the game before Coach Mendenhall got into there. One, because the players celebrated on the field with the fans. There were, you know, there weren't a lot of fans left at the end of the game because it was, there were 38,000 there, and I think that was a legit number today. But in the second half, when it was just absolutely pouring buckets, and it's 45 degrees and pouring buckets of rain, a lot of folks left. But when the folks who stayed behind, a lot of folks ran on the field, and the players stay out there with them. And then, of course, the post-game situation. I mean, Coach Mendenhall talked about how he approached this week differently than the past couple of weeks. He felt like the team, each of the last two games, the big loss at home to BC, the big loss on the road at Pitt, he felt like they were trying too hard to win game number six. Now, the interesting way he said he approached that this week was, he told them, hey, yeah, we need to win one more to be bowl eligible. But here's what we need to do. We need to put that in the back of our head. We just need to play one play at a time. Let's stop thinking about being bowl eligible. Let's think about what we needed to do to get here to be, you know, to put ourselves in a position to be bowl eligible. So he addressed it. He said the last 2 weeks, he really and his coaching staff didn't really talk about to the players, hey, you know, we're only one win away from bowl eligibility. Almost like that was sort of the elephant in the room that nobody wanted to point out. And this week the approach was, yeah, let's talk about it up front, let's get it out of the way, and let's go play some football. And so the post-game situation was, I mean, Coach Mendenhall plus the players, you could tell a giant weight was off everyone's shoulders. You know, now they've got that sixth win. You could tell that, you know, they now are walking a little taller. And not just because they won the game, but because now they're relieved. They didn't want to start 5-1 and then lose six straight and miss a bowl again for this Virginia program. And so they were talking about Coach Mendenhall and the players each were, you know, individual guys all talking about how, you know, now we got six. We don't want to have six. Coach Mendenhall even said, he said, this was such a gritty win. He said he was exhausted. I mean, you could probably tell that in the voice on the radio, Scott, that, you know, he seemed drained talking to us there. He said he told the players, you know, I don't know how much you have left, but we got six. And he said the players responded as soon as he said that, Coach, we got more. And so I think you're going to see a team come out next week at Louisville, you know, the next couple of weeks after Miami and Virginia Tech. They're playing with house money now. They weren't supposed to win two or three games this year. They got six now, and they don't want to stop at six. And to address your first point about Binkert, he said, yeah, you know, there were some issues with the drops and everything else, but Kurt stepped up, and they had. And I think the most important thing, Kurt stepped up, but they had confidence in Kurt. I only bring up the previous regimes because I think it's important for Virginia fans who've suffered through this long enough to know. We would have seen the previous coaching regime after the pick six. The next series would have been three runs into the line and punt. They wouldn't have had any confidence in the offense after that pick six, and that would have set the tone for the rest of the game thereafter. Virginia coach Robert Anae, offensive coordinator Robert Anae, after the pick six, Virginia throws the ball six times on the next drive. Binkert completes five, throws a touchdown pass. That sets a different tone. They've got confidence in the players. The players then play with confidence, and that's why you saw the result you saw today, because that's a confident group. For a team that no one thought would be competitive in the ACC this year.
Yeah, and that's a very good point to make. After the pick six, you're right. Just kind of reflecting back on previous Virginia teams, they probably would have gotten very conservative, taking the mentality that we certainly don't want to put him in that situation where he could possibly do it back-to-back. We want to let him forget about that. Whereas this coaching staff, and that's not the first time they've done that this year because he's thrown a pick six before, he gets right back up on the horse and he comes out slinging again. So that in itself is kind of a statement about the way Mendenhall wants the mentality of this team to be, to kind of expect success instead of preparing for something less than that.
Yeah, after the pick six, Kurt Binkert was 14 of 23 passing, 182 yards, and three touchdowns. And you don't do that, again, I do fault the previous coaching regime, but there'd be a lot of coaches across the country who'd say, man, he threw a pick six. You know, Kurt's thrown a few pick sixes. I mean, you know, in his two-year career at Virginia, he's thrown a few of those. And so, you know, it's a rainy day. We've had some drops issues. We're down 28-13. Let's just try to keep this conservative. And that's how you lose games. And, you know, one thing about Bronco Mendenhall, I mean, you noticed this too, Scott, earlier in the season. He'll go for fourth downs. He's not scared of those plays. He's not scared. You know, in the fourth quarter, when conventional wisdom would be, hey, Georgia Tech, it needs to throw the ball in this last drive. Let's just drop eight guys into coverage and make them pick us apart. He's blitzing. You know, Bronco Mendenhall is also this team's defensive coordinator. He's calling the plays on defense, and he's sending blitzes. Well, you know, you get a couple sacks, including Andrew Brown gets a sack on third down on that last series, sets up that fourth and 15, which is an incomplete pass. You know, instead of saying, let's sit back and let them pick us apart, he's saying, let's go for it. And again, the previous staff, that's, I think, why we lost a couple games late, was because you'd sit seven or eight guys back in coverage, let them pick you apart underneath, and eventually, you know, they score points. And, you know, Broncos putting the foot down on the gas pedal and trying to win the game, not trying not to lose it. And, you know, we're seeing that's just a different mentality with this coaching staff, and now the players are buying into it. And that's how a team, honestly, this team isn't a 6-3 team in terms of talent, but they're 6-3 because they're playing harder and they're getting more out of what they've got than other teams are getting, and that's why they are where they are.
Yeah, they certainly play and I mean, you know, again, you take the last two games against Boston College and Pittsburgh, they were not pretty games. The Boston College game was just flat downright awful. The Pittsburgh game was somewhat better, but not certainly, you know, they ended up getting beat by 17 points. But you come out there today, the doom and gloom naysayers are on the message board or lighting up the message boards. It's a cold, rainy day, stadium half full. You know, it could have been easy to just cave in, and they had a couple opportunities. And those two plays, I've been following Virginia football for a long, long time, and they go down 28-13 on two back-to-back touchdown plays by Georgia Tech. You know, I just shook my head and said, well, you know, it's a long way to go. This program is not, you know, we might get five wins, but it's not going to be as pretty as it would have been if we would have won five games and had them stretched out over the season. You win five games out of your first six, and then you go in the tanker for the rest, and it kind of taints the whole season. But, you know, they just the resiliency and the character that they played to come back from that, I can't remember that on a Virginia football team in a long, long, long time.
Yeah, this felt like George Welsh era football today. It really did. And Virginia gets to win 40-36. So, folks, you're going to be watching football with Virginia playing sometime in December. We just don't know when yet. I still think this team's got a win or two left. I really do. Next week, Louisville, 5-4 Louisville. Then Miami, then Virginia Tech. They're both playing right now as we're recording this podcast. I really think Virginia's got at least one more win, and then we'll see what happens as far as bowl situations go. You know, it was funny in the postgame, between the Bronco Mendenhall interview and when the players started trickling in for their postgame interviews, us media folks were starting to chat about the bowls. Hey, what, you know, somebody threw the question out, what bowl do you think we're going to? And the universal answer was, you know what, it's been so long since Virginia, people who write about Virginia football have had to think about bowls, that we really aren't knowledgeable about the bowl tie-ins for the ACC. So all of a sudden now, Scott, you and I and the rest of the Virginia football media crew, we've got to look at what bowls are out there, because it's been a long time since we've even thought about and had to think about the possibilities there. But we know something in December. We just don't know what. And at this stage, it's all gravy. It's all a gift because we haven't been there in so long.
Well, and if you're trying to figure it out, good luck, because there is a bunch of bowls. But unfortunately, or fortunately, once you get down past a certain level of bowls, there's a lot of factors that go into selecting a team, and it's not always based on record. The bowl committees can look at a team that, like Virginia, that hasn't been bowling for a long time, and they could easily take UVA over another school that may have a win more and bump them up into a little more of a, I don't like to use the word prestigious, because, you know, past the playoffs, all the bowls are just basically exhibitions. But you know, it's going to be real interesting to see exactly where they land, because the Virginia fans travel. You know, I will say that I've been to the last three or four bowl games, and they do take fans, and the fact that we haven't been to a bowl game, haven't had a lot to really look forward to in December, that's going to play into the bowl selection committee. They're going to want UVA, because they know that they're going to probably bring minimum of 15,000 or plus fans with them. So, you know, could be very interesting. Always helps to win. The more you win, probably the better bowl you're going to get. So, yeah, we've got business to take care of still.
We're talking bowls. We're talking Virginia football in the year 2017. We're talking bowls. So it's got to be a good thing. I'll go ahead and wrap us up here. More coverage on Augusta Free Press, of course. We've got the game recap. We've got the video from Coach Mendenhall. If you go to our Facebook page, too, we'll have some videos up soon. By the time you listen to this, probably have them up. with several of the players, including quarterback Kurt Binkert, running back Jordan Ellis. I'm trying to think who else we got in there as well. We got a bunch of player interviews and stuff. Virginia football, again, the win 40-36. The Cavs get the win, and they're going bowling. For Scott German, I'm Chris Graham signing off. Thank you for listening.